Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. With the time of the reading of our Old Testament, Jacob, or sometimes called Israel, that's the individual, not the nation at this point, Jacob is an old man. His hair is gray, his body is weary, and his heart has known more grief than most any of us could bear ourselves. He has just buried his wife, Rachel. He believes that his youngest son, Joseph, his next to the youngest son, eventually, is dead. And he has limped ever since he wrestled with God. And now here at the end of his life, God has called him to do something that in many ways feels backward, dangerous. Some might even say faithless. God calls him to leave the land of promise, which he had declared to Jacob's grandfather, Abraham. And God calls him down to Egypt. Egypt. The land that, yes, is a relief from famine, but it is also a land of idols. A land of one of the most powerful militaries on the face of the planet at this time. This is the same place that Jacob's grandfather Abraham went to and failed and was driven out. And it's the land where Jacob's descendants would eventually be enslaved. From every human perspective, if any of us were to just take this on face value based on what we know about the world, Egypt is the enemy's territory. And yet, Genesis tells us, so Israel took his journey and came to Beersheba. Now, Beersheba is the very edge of the land of the Canaanites. You've not gotten to Egypt yet. It's a wilderness, a desert, if you will. It is the edge of the cliff. One more step past Beersheba, and he is finally, fully in the hands of Egypt and their powerful military. And so in this wilderness of Beersheba, Jacob stops. He offers a sacrifice, and he prays. He knows what this feels like. All of us have been there. When we find ourselves at a crossing line that we're not sure that God wants us to really cross. Is this truly what God wants us to do? Or am I just trying to get out of a bad situation of dying from hunger, and I'm willing to go in the land of idols, the land of the enemy? And so as Jacob is considering these things, in the night God comes to him and says, Jacob, Jacob. Now, whenever we see God call somebody by name twice, that means pay attention. And yet at the same time, this Jacob, Jacob, it's not a rebuke. It's not a command that is barked from heaven. It is a way that God speaks in mercy. This is what you are to do. Man, wouldn't it be easy if we could just have voices from heaven that would say undeniably, here's what I want you to do. I'm not really sure all of us would do it, even if that happened. But Jacob says to God, here am I. It's the same words spoken by Abraham. It's the same words that will be spoken by Moses, by Samuel, by Isaiah, and many, many other prophets throughout the centuries. When God calls us, here I am. Ironically, as a pastor, it's one of the responses that we are to speak back to the pastoral representative at our ordination. Are you willing to do this? God has called you. We say, here I am. It's a moment of fear. And yet at the same time, it's a moment of trust. And in that moment for Jacob, God says, I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid. to go down to Egypt. I myself will go down with you, and I will also bring you up again. And I think this is the heart of the text. Not Jacob's faith or faithlessness, not his courage, not his uncertainty, not his doubts, but God's promise. Jacob isn't going down to Egypt because Jacob has proven himself to be exceptionally strong. Jacob is not going because he has a plan. Jacob is not going, certainly, because Egypt is safe. Jacob is going because God goes with him. Now, brothers and sisters, there are moments in the Christian life when obedience feels like retreat, doesn't it? When faith looks like we're walking straight into danger, when God's will leads us not away from trouble, but directly into it. Probably every single person in this room knows what that feels like at some point in your life. Sometimes it is the call to confront sin that we would rather ignore. Sometimes it is walking into grief that cannot be fixed. Sometimes it is standing firm in a confession while the world, and sometimes even other Christians, call us foolish. Sometimes it is facing the consequences of our past choices. And sometimes, most painfully, it's being brought face to face with our own sin and our own brokenness as we kneel before the cross. All of these things feel like the enemy's territory. And it's in these situations that the enemy whispers to us, see, I've beat you. God has abandoned you. Most of us would rather stay in Beersheba. Most of us would like to stay comfortable. Most of us would like to pretend that in our current situation, things are manageable by us. We still have some semblance of control in this mess. But God calls us to look honestly at ourselves, because that's what the law does. The law leads us straight into the land of fear. It shows us that we are by nature sinners, that we are by our nature idolaters, that we are by our nature doubters. People who do not love God with our whole heart, we do not love our neighbors as ourselves. That's why it's in the prayer of confession, at least for setting one. The law says, hey, go down. I want you to look. Look honestly. See what is there. And ripping open our chest and looking into our hearts is overwhelming. Because it's in that moment when we look into our own selves and we say to ourselves, how could God love someone like this? How can I love someone like this? Why would God keep his promises to me? How can grace survive? How can God's grace survive this much failure? This is where Jacob was standing. This man, Jacob, which by the way means deceiver. How would you like to have that as a name? Isaac means, that's my real name. Isaac means he laughs. I like that name. Jacob comes from a family that has been torn apart by favoritism, by lies, by betrayal. And do you notice what God does not say? God does not say, hey, Jacob, you need to clean your life up first. God does not say, Jacob, you need to prove your faith. God does not say, Jacob, now you're on your own. Let's see what you got. No, God says, do not be afraid. This is serious stuff, brothers and sisters, because Egypt is a dangerous place. God doesn't deny that. He does not pretend the journey will be easy. He does not promise Jacob a pain-free future. Israel will suffer in Egypt. They will be made slaves. They will cry out to God. They will be beaten and killed. And likewise, when God calls us into the truth about ourselves, he does not soften that either. Your sin, My sin is real. No matter how much the world says, no, that's not a big deal. No, don't worry about that. Well, you can't. No, that's not what the law says. In confirmation class, the students, the catechumens know very clearly, if you break one law, you have broken the whole law. That shows us God's holiness. Your guilt is real. I feel terrible about that. You should feel terrible about it. I feel terrible about it. Your brokenness is real. And you know what? Your doubts are real too. Right now, the devil is trying to breed your doubts into resistance. Even Jacob doubts. That's why he stopped. He wasn't sure. And that's why God speaks to him. And here is where the law cuts deepest. Even our faith is sometimes not strong enough for us to go on. Because most of us want it to be our faith. I know that's a subtle distinction. I get into these conversations multiple times a week with people who are either not Christians or even those who are not Lutheran Christians. And they say, no, it's my faith. They want our faith to be the thing that saves us. My faith saved me. No. My confidence in God was my victory. No, it's not your confidence. It's not your faith. Well, it was my courage that proved. No, it's not your courage either. And Jacob isn't brave enough. He's not confident enough. He's not courageous enough. He is terrified. And he should be. And I know that every dad in this room would say to their son struggling with the same situation, will be say, hey, buck up and let's go. Summon up your courage. That's not what God says. What God says is this. Are you ready? I will go with you. You see, the law strips away the illusion that we can survive by our own strength, even our own spiritual strength. Your repentance, my repentance, is not perfect. Your faith wavers. Your obedience falters. Listen, brothers and sisters, if salvation depended on your ability to endure the enemy's territory, you and I would not make it. But that's not how it works. God says, I myself will go down with you. And this is the pure gospel. My brothers, we've all experienced it when our fathers took us into the forest the very first time. The forest had many things to be careful of, but we weren't afraid. Why? Because our dads were with us. You see, God doesn't shout directions down from heaven. He doesn't remain at a safe distance himself. God goes down. God goes down into Egypt. God goes down into suffering. God goes down into weakness. And centuries later, from the time of Jacob, God will do it again, fully and finally. The Son of God goes down into enemy territory. How? He takes on flesh in a world hostile to him. He enters human sin, human sorrow, and human death. He is betrayed, just like Joseph is betrayed. He's sold for silver. He's handed over to the powers of darkness. And the cross for him is the ultimate Egypt. And yet, in the midst of all of these things that say, you've lost, God is not defeated. He takes those things that the world says is defeat, and he says, this is victory. And it is. Because at the cross, Christ accomplishes the great exchange. Your sin, my sin, becomes his sin, and his righteousness becomes your righteousness, my righteousness. Your death becomes his death, and his life becomes your life. Even your doubts are carried there. Even your weak faith is covered there. Not because your faith is strong enough, but because God's word is sure. Notice how God frames the promise. I will make you a great nation. I will go down with you. I will bring you up again. And yet we know that Jacob will die in Egypt. But death does not cancel the promise. Jacob's son, Joseph, will close his father's eyes in death. But God will open them up again. This is intentional resurrection language. And it's spoken to an old sinner who's on the edge of the enemy's territory, gone as far as he can go safely, one more step, and he's out of control. And brothers and sisters, God speaks this word to you today. He speaks this word to St. Matthew. He speaks this word to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He speaks this word to his church throughout the world, wherever the word is declared rightly and the sacraments administered faithfully. When God calls you to repent, he is not calling you to despair. When God exposes to us our sin, he's not abandoning us. When he leads us into places that we cannot control, he's not testing your worth. He is keeping his word. Even when you cannot see how deliverance will come, even when the odds seem insurmountable, even when your faith feels thin, God's grace has already secured your tomorrow. What are you afraid of? What am I afraid of? God's mercy is stronger than your doubt. Believe. God's promise is not some little fragile thing like our promises are. God's promises are our armor. Jacob's sons carry him into Egypt. Did you catch that in the text? Jacob's sons carry him into Egypt in Pharaoh's wagons. Did you catch that? Even the enemy ends up serving God's purposes. I love that. This is how God works. God uses what frightens us to save us. He uses what humbles us to bless us. He uses what looks like defeat to accomplish salvation. The cross. So when you feel like you're in enemy territory, whether there is a confession, whether there is repentance, whether it's suffering, whether it's your physical death itself, you do not go alone. You go with the God who has already gone there for you. You go with Christ. And because Christ has gone down, he will also bring you up. Now, this isn't optimism. This is not the power of positive thinking. This is the gospel. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.